Pasambayam kaya sankaram asasi samiti sikhati, pasambayam kaya sankaram pasasi samiti sikhati. These are the four exercises connected with the mindfulness directed towards the body. And the preface to these exercises, or introduction to these exercises. According to the Abhidhamma teachings, when one practices the mindfulness of the body, what does one do? One continually brings mindfulness towards the body, does not allow it to go anywhere else. Now, when you meditate on breath, the breath, as we have said, is also representing the body. It is the four elements and what is derived by the four elements. The second aspect is dissolving the ghana, or the ignorance, in regard to the body. So these are the two aspects which summarize the practice of mindfulness of the body. Concentration is directed towards the body and is not distracted by any other objects. That means all the sensations or the cognitions are to be experienced on the base of the body. Body is the base of all the sensations and all the cognitions. And then dissolving the ignorance in regard to the body. That is the essence of the mindfulness directed towards the body. It means that when you are practicing now most of us are practicing the samadhi. When you are practicing the samadhi, you are concerned with the breath. All your feelings, all your sensations, all your cognitions, all your investigations are directed towards the breath, are based in the breath. This is how you practice the mindfulness of the body, how you enter into the meditation of mindfulness of the body. The mindfulness of the body has two sides. It has the samatha side and the vipassana side. When you practice the samatha side, and this side is mostly emphasized in the scriptures, your object is, can be called the concept of the breath. There is a lot of confusion about this. You should clarify it. Unless you clarify it, you will always be, in one way or another, hindered in your meditation. The concept of the breath is experienced by the mental consciousness. The breath is also experienced by the bodily consciousness. What does the bodily consciousness experience? It experiences the hardness of the breath, the softness of the breath, the warmth of the breath, the coolness of the breath, the pushing sensation connected with the breath. This is what the bodily consciousness experiences. The mental consciousness experiences if you want to use it to attain samadhi, it experiences the bare presence of the breath. But But this bare presence of the breath will not be clear, will be accompanied by these sensations of the bodily consciousness. They cannot be clearly separated. The bodily consciousness also will definitely appear on while meditating on the breath. But as you train more in concentration, this bodily consciousness of the breath goes into the background, and you will be more and more aware of the concept of the breath, of the bare presence of the breath. Only then you will be able to use that object for a deep concentration. Do not be confused about it. It is very important to understand. So you may know that you are experiencing the warmth and the coolness and the pushing sensation and the hardness or softness of the breath, but you don't particularly pay attention to this. You pay attention to the bare presence of the breath. You do not need to focus it in one small place, the gist of the meditation is just to be aware of the breath, of the experience of the whole body of the breath. Now, I have quoted the preliminaries. The preliminary is Ujjukayam Panidhaya. He has how can we translate? He has placed his body straight. Placed his body straight means he has placed himself in a firm bodily posture. The firm bodily posture is the preliminary of the firm cognition. In order to enter samadhi, you need two conditions. First is the isolation of the body. Isolation of the body means you are not paying attention to the five doors perception. What means five doors perception? To the outer colors, sounds, smells, taste, and touch of the body. In order to be able to do it, you have to have a firm bodily posture. If your bodily posture is not firm, then you will not be able to ignore the bodily sensations. So the firm bodily posture is the in a way condition for isolating the body. Isolating the body, as we have said, means not to be concerned with the five door perception. Then isolating the mind means staying with the present sensation of the in-breath and out-breath, and not let the mind indulge in the past and future fancies of the objects, usually sensual objects that you have experienced. You do not think what you're going to do tomorrow, day after tomorrow, what you have done last week, where are you going to spend your holiday. what you have enjoyed for good food the day before yesterday, or what you're going to eat tomorrow. If you think these things, then you are not isolating your mind. Then it will run wild. Have you experienced the mind running wild? The mind running wild is precisely the mind which is not concerned with the meditation object. That is why, after explaining the firm bodily posture, the next step is explaining the Parimukham Satim Upathapetva. He establishes the mindfulness on the meditation object. What means establishing mindfulness on the meditation object? It means not allowing the mind to float away from the meditation object, not allowing it to be unstable on the meditation object, not allowing the mind to indulge in other objects except the meditation object. That means establishing the mind on the all around the meditation object. All around the meditation object means not allowing it to float. The mind which is united with its object is a peaceful mind, contented mind. United mind is peace. The mind which is unable to unite with the object of its perception, of its sensation, of its cognition, is the disturbed mind. The disturbed mind cannot enter meditation. Only mind which is firmly established on the object of its sensation, of its cognition, is the mind which is suitable for meditation. That is the meaning of establishing the mind on the meditation object. The next is, so sato asasati, sato pasasati. Having established the mind on the meditation object, he breathes in mindfully and he breathes out mindfully. How does one breathe in mindfully and breathe out mindfully? The sati means bringing the object clearly to the mind. Abhidharma Kosha commentary explains articulating clearly the object to the mind. How do we know that we are using sati? We know it because we are presenting the object clearly to the mind. If we do not present the object clearly to the mind, we are not practicing sati. The literal meaning of sati, of nyan, is memory. We can only remember and keep on remembering that what we clearly present to the mind. That which we do not clearly present to the mind, we will not remember. And the mind will not stay there. Only what you clearly present to the mind, that you will be able to remember and keep in mind. What is the proof of that? Now, if I ask you what you remember, you will only be able to remember those experiences which you have experienced intensively. Experiencing, clearly interpreting the object to the mind means experiencing the object intensively. Only when you experience the object intensively, you will be able to remember it. Is it so or not? If I ask you what you remember having done 10 years ago, you can only remember those things which you have experienced intensively, right? Those things which you have not experienced intensively, you will not remember. But if you go into deep meditation, it may happen that because, especially if you study Yogacara philosophy, actually everything is stored in our mind, all our experiences. But we have to go intensively. We have to intensify our perception, interpret clearly things to the mind, then the mind will remember. And mind can remember many, many things, even past lives. All is stored in our minds. But because we do not present these things to the mind clearly, we do not remember them. So please practice more and more meditation so that you can remember things more and more clearly. Especially the most common disease of our modern civilization is loss of memory, right? I have seen even some 50, 60 years old people who can't remember what they have done. Where they live, what is their name? Have you met such people? Anyway, this not only because they don't meditate, there are also some other factors like inheritance, which cannot be changed. But the main cause of the losing of memory is not presenting things clearly to the mind. When you can practice Anapanasati in a correct way, automatically you will be able to remember things more clearly. It is not only concerned with the breath. Anything you do, you are training in Anapanasati to be able to interpret the things that you do clearly to the mind. That is sati. If you can do it, the quality of your life will change radically. And you will be able to live in peace without unnecessary worries. All the unnecessary worries is due to not clear presenting the suitable objects to the mind. So this function of sati is very important. So the Anapanasati explanation starts with sato va asasati, sato va pasasati. That means he clearly presents the in-breath and out-breath to the mind. Only then he can do successfully these coming 16 exercises, which are explained in Buddhism as a full course of liberation of mind. The mind can only be liberated when its objects are clear. When the objects are mamahuhu, how to say, the two liangzi ma liangzi laohu. What will happen? All scattered, right? Two horses and two tigers. What will happen? Everything will be in disorder, right? Chaos. So if you want to succeed in meditation, the first thing is you present your object clearly to the mind. No matter what meditation you are practicing, This is the most important condition. There is no question of meditating when the meditation object is not clear. The same for shamatha, the same for vipassana. You are practicing shamatha. What is the aim of shamatha? The aim of shamatha is to see things as they really are, to see them clearly. And unless you have shamatha, you will not be able to do that. So the meaning of sati is memory, and we remember only that which we present to the mind clearly. What we don't present to the mind clearly, we don't remember. And what if you meditating on breath, what are you presenting to the mind clearly? Dīgham va asasanto dīgham asasāmiti pajānāti. He knows very... Pajānāti means he knows with wisdom. Pajānāti comes from the prajñā, pōje, the wisdom. So mindfulness is the tool of wisdom. And it is also the cause of concentration. Where there is no mindfulness, a clear presentation of the object to the mind, without the object being swept away by other feelings, other cognitions, other sensations. Only when the object is not swept away or influenced by other sensations or cognitions or perceptions, then you will be able to know it clearly and to get concentration on it. So the mindfulness is the cause of concentration, and it is the tool of wisdom. Without that tool, no wisdom ever will be experienced, as far as Buddhism is concerned. So if the function of wisdom is to differentiate things clearly, it is symbolized in Buddhism by the sword of Manjushri, right? When Shushuddhi Bodha, the handle of that sword is the mindfulness. Unless you have the handle, you will cut your hand by the sword. And the purpose of differentiating is not to cut your hand, but to cut delusion. So unless mindfulness is there, you will cut your hand, not the cut of the delusion. So please decide, you want to cut your hand or cut delusion. If you want to cut off delusion, you have to practice mindfulness. Not just while sitting in meditation, but in daily life also. Interpret your object always clearly to the mind. When the mind is united with the object of its sensation, of its perception, of its cognition, it has no problem. Only when the mind is not united with the object of its perception, of its sensation, of its cognition, it has many, many problems. How many? No one can count. So that is why the whole practice starts with mindfulness. And this practice is called the mindfulness of in-breath and out-breath. So when you are mindful, then you will be able to clearly distinguish with wisdom when I am breathing in long breaths, I am breathing in long breaths. When I am breathing out long breaths, I am breathing out long breaths. And how will you remember it? You will remember it in a wise way, as the commentaries explain, just like as I mentioned yesterday, like a billows, when you press them slowly, the breath will be long, right? When you press them quickly, the breath will be short. So this is knowing the things clearly, also knowing it with the proper understanding of the causes of the phenomena. When you are breathing long breaths, it means your body and mind is relaxed. When it is the body and mind is relaxed, the mind then needs very little effort to breathe in and breathe out. When it is not relaxed, it needs much effort, right? And when the body and the mind are relaxed, it will become very easy to be aware of the breath. If the mind and the body are not relaxed, it will not be easy to be aware of the breath. Have you noticed that? That is why it is so important to be at ease with your meditation object. Only then you will be able to experience it clearly. If you're not at ease with your meditation object, you will not experience it clearly. And how to be at ease with the meditation object? If you work on breath, the area of your observation should not be too big. If it is too big, your mind will get distracted. It should not be too small. If it is too small, you will get tight. So, the middle way. Then you will feel very comfortable with the object. When the mind is comfortable with the object of its sensation, of its perception, of its cognition, it will stay with that object. If it is not comfortable, it will run away. This is the nature of the mind. That all beings, without exception, what are they concerned about? Happiness. And then even the small insects, even the beings which we can't see with bare eyes, they only concerned with happiness. They're not concerned with anything else. But because deluded about the nature of happiness, suffering. Like a moth flies to the fire and gets burned by the fire. So, because of not understanding the nature, real nature of happiness, mistaking suffering for happiness. So, the Buddhism explains it is very, very important to experience intensively the wholesome happiness, Only then we will be able to not like a moth flying to the fire, we will be able to avoid attachment to suffering. Attachment to suffering is very unreasonable, but we all do it because we don't have the deep experience of the inner happiness. Only the inner happiness can bring a lasting satisfaction. And this inner happiness belongs to only to the mind which is comfortable with its object and completely involved with the cognition, sensation, perception of that object, not getting distracted by other sensations, perceptions, cognitions. That is a fulfilled mind. That mind has no desire to run away. The mind which is not so innerly fulfilled will always try to run away, even while experiencing one thing, it runs away to another thing. So it is very, very important to experience the inner object, the meditation object, intensively. And to know exactly also the reasons for experiencing it intensively. Knowing that the long breath belongs to the relaxed mind and relaxed body, and be exactly aware how this relaxed body and the relaxed mind comes about. So the first step in experiencing the meditation object here is a long or short breath. First, in the scriptures connected with breath comes long breath, then comes short breath. The commentaries do not explain why, but can you guess why? Some of you have already experienced the first step in learning meditation on breath is to relax. When you are relaxed, you will experience the long breath and you will become comfortable with the object. When you experience a long breath and become comfortable with the object, when you have made an effort to stay with the object, the result of that effort will be, as explained in the Visuddhimagga, that because you can stay clearly on your long breath, the long breath will become more subtle. When the long breath becomes more subtle, what will happen? You will experience on that very object, while breathing in and breathing out mindfully, you will experience happiness, not misery. You will only experience misery while breathing in and breathing out when you are on that object and your mind is thinking about something else, feeling something else, perceiving something else, when your mind is united with the breath, it will not feel something else, it will not sense something else, it will not perceive something else, it will not be concerned with something else, then you will experience happiness because of the lasting clear perception of the breath. When this lasting clear perception of the breath has continuity, happiness will be there. Whether you like it or not, it will be there. When the happiness has continuity, the breath connected with happiness, inner happiness, inner fulfillment, makes the mind more concentrated, more fulfilled, more at ease. When the mind is more at ease, more concentrated, more fulfilled, it will have more wisdom. And then it will be able to detach from this sensation of happiness, detach from this concentrated mind connected with happiness, detach from this pleasant sensation of the breath. Then, in virtue of this more wisdom in pure observation of the breath, you will experience still more subtle breath and will be able to learn the necessary steps for samadhi. All this happens with the long breath. But before the samadhi comes, there will certainly be some obstacles. Why? Because what is samadhi? Samadhi is a state of mind without defilements. The mind in samadhi has literally shaken away vikambana, the defilements. If there is samadhi, there is no place for defilements. Like if there is sun, there is no darkness. But before the sun arises, it will have to disperse some clouds. And these clouds will definitely come. For some people, they come more clearly. For some people, not so clearly. Depends on the previous paramis, on the previous practice. Some people, before experiencing samadhi, experience terrible shake-ups. They are being mixed like the milk and banana in a milkshake. So, why all this happens? Because they don't protect themselves with the sati, with the mindfulness, and they let the mind go to some other object. But anyway, before the samadhi comes, and so all those who have experienced samadhi, the obstacles come. The body and the mind will have to adjust to a new condition. The samadhi condition is a new condition. And the body and mind will not go into it. There will be some fears, there will be some tension. Then the short breath appears. Some reported in the interview this condition. They think that many people think that they are actually making regress. They get fear, worries. But this is progress, not regress. But they evaluate it as not progressing, because before they have been experiencing very comfortable breath. Now the breath becomes difficult. So they become very worried. So please remember, actually this is, you may think that you are not progressing, you are making regress, but it is a good condition. All you have to do is just relax, not to get worried, and the things will start happening, the clouds will start clearing up. Provided you stay with your meditation object, and you don't follow these fears and different visions that you may experience. Only when you stay with the breath, you will be safe. If you leave the breath, Mr. Trouble will come. Mr. Trouble may even knock you down. So, if you don't want Mr. Trouble to knock you down, you have to always remember, when you stay with the breath, you are safe. If you leave the breath, you are welcoming Mr. Trouble. He can do with you all kinds of things. If you stay with the breath, he can't do anything. Provided you stay with the breath, with mindfulness, continue to present the object clearly to the mind. So for this very reason, it is explained first the long breath, knowing clearly the long breath, then knowing clearly the short breath. So I believe. But it is not written in the scriptures, it is experience. So no matter whether the breath is long or the breath is short, the meditator has to present it clearly to the mind. Only then he will be safe. Only then the same process of sublimation will happen. No matter whether the breath is long or short, the sublimation will happen. And the sublime mind can only stay with the sublime object. If the object is not sublime, the sublime mind will disappear. The more sublime the object, the more challenge is to use the more mindfulness to present the object clearly to the mind. Unless you do it, you will lose this process of getting into samadhi. This is explained in the Patisambhidamagga and the Visuddhimagga by the simile of the gong. Very easy to hear. Now it's slowly, slowly becoming more and more soft, more and more subtle sound. If you don't concentrate more, then you will lose the sound. Can you hear the sound now? If you want to continue hearing, what we will have to do? More attention, more mindfulness. Can you hear it now? Why? Because you pay more attention to it, right? Can you hear it now? Still very clear, but you have to work hard to sharpen your faculties. This is mindfulness. Can you hear now? Still some vibrations are there, right? This more soft the vibrations, the sharper faculties you have to use to distinguish, right? This is the essence of this whole process. Now, if your long or short breath becomes more subtle, unless you use sharper mind on it, you will lose it. What will happen then? The mind will sink, right? So the beginning of the meditation is to, as I have explained, to learn how to stay with the meditation object. For that, we have mentioned, is counting the breath, right? When you count the breath, you are not allowing the mind to go anywhere else. It has to go to the breath. It is constrained. Constrained by whom? By vitaka vichara. The speech is connected with vitaka vichara, with Shin Su, right? The Shin Su does not allow the mind to go away from the object. Push out the Shin Su, Shin Su. Shin Su. Shin Su. Su Wei. Shin Su is Su Wei. Okay. Musa. So. One, the meditator has to recollect always the breath. Then he will not get scattered mind. If the scattered mind has been successfully removed to some extent, the breath becomes more subtle, still the gross sinking can arise. Because when the breath becomes more subtle, very easy to for the mind to drop on it. Why? Comfortable. And when one feels comfortable, one does not want to exert oneself, right? So one has to overcome this obstacle. Otherwise one will get stuck. There are meditators who get stuck like this for 20 years, working on breath, or 30 years, just feeling a little bit comfortable, and then the object becomes not clear, and they feel comfortable, stay 1 hour like that, and practice every day like that, no progress, nothing. Why? Please keep this in mind. The subtle object demands and necessitates a more subtle mind. If the mind does not take the challenge, it will drop. And the meditation depends on the clarity of the object. If the clarity of the object gets lost, no meditation. So the meditation object in the Agama tradition is called Kammatana. Kamma means effort, tana means place, the place of effort. The place of effort means that you never allow it to become unclear object. Clear? Clear? Ni ting de tong chien pu mei wen ti, huh? Pu xiao yong huai gui na, huh? Na hen hao. So, this is the essence of the meditation which you should always keep in mind. Only then you will get further. And what is the stage of getting further? That is a third exercise which is inseparable from the knowing clearly of the long or short breath. It is the sabbakaya patisamvedi asasisamiti sikhati, sabbakaya patisamvedi pasasisamiti sikhati. I breathe in, I learn, sikhati, learn. Learn here means I am putting more clarity, more effort into my meditation. Then I'm learning. If I don't put more effort, more clarity into my meditation, what will I learn? That is why I said some meditators, they meditate 20 years on breath. They start feeling comfortable. They don't investigate the object. Don't learn anything. So please don't get stuck like that. Learning means you get more clarity. If you don't get more clarity, what will you learn? Christine?
Nothing.
Right? So, I learn sabbakaya patisamvedi asasisamiti sikhati, sabbakaya patisamvedi pasasisamiti sikhati. I learn by breathing in and breathing out to experience the whole body of breath. Now, they are actually the whole body of breath is not only the whole body of breath, it is also the whole body of the mind experiencing the breath. So you can understand it as there being two bodies. The body of the breath, which you understand in each and every in-breath and out-breath from the beginning to the end, in wherever you experience the breath, and the whole body of the mind, which is experiencing the whole body of the breath. Is it clear? So the whole of the suokwan and whole of the nenkwan, the whole of the subject of observation and the whole of the object of observation mean the whole of the body. So if there is any change of in the quality of the breath, from the beginning of the in-breath to the end of the in-breath, from the beginning of the out-breath to the end of the out-breath, you will notice it clearly. You learn to notice it clearly. If there is any change in the mind observing the in-breath and out-breath, if there is any tendency to sink in, if there is any tendency to distraction, if there is any tendency to clinging, if there is any tendency to disliking, if there is any tendency to non-resolution, which means doubt, you notice it immediately when it happens in the beginning of the in-breath. You notice it in the beginning of in-breath. When it happens in the middle, you notice it in the middle. When it happens in the end, you notice it in the end. Whenever it happens, you notice it immediately. This process is explained in Patisambhida Magga by the 18 defilements of observation of the breath. That means you are learning to apply the equal mind to the whole process of in-breath and out-breath. Only then you will be able to enter the samadhi. So if there is, if you pay too much effort to the in-breath, the clarity of the out-breath will be lost. If you pay too much effort to the out-breath, the clarity of the in-breath will be lost. If you hang to the in-breath, the clarity will be lost. If you hang to the out-breath, the clarity will be lost. If you pay too much effort to investigating the in-breath, you will be unclear about the out-breath. If you pay too much effort in investigating the out-breath, you will be not clear about the in-breath. If you pay attention to the in-breath, your mind should not be shaken as to the place where you experience the in-breath and as to the out-breath. If you pay attention to the place where you experience the in-breath and out-breath, your mind should not be shaken as to in-breath and out-breath. As when you pay attention to the out-breath, your mind should not be shaken as to the place where you experience the in-breath and out-breath and to the in-breath. So the mind learns to be equal on the whole process of in-breath and out-breath. Where? At the place where it experiences it. That place where the in-breath and out-breath is experienced is called the anapana nimitta, the sign of the in-breath and out-breath. The attention should be equal on in-breath, out-breath and on the sign of the in-breath and out-breath. That means you should not pay attention to the past objects, past in-breath and out-breath. You should stay at the present sensation of in-breath and out-breath. Never allow the breath to the mind to leave the present sensation of the in-breath and the out-breath, not to get attracted to the in-breath, or out-breath, not to reject the in-breath and the out-breath, not to allow the mind to think on it, not allow the mind to be scattered on it, always apply the same equal mind to the in-breath and out-breath at its sign. That is the touching place. If you can do that, you will be able to go into the last stage of these four exercises, which is the stage of samadhi. That means pasambayam kaya sankaram asasi samiti sikhati, pasambayam kaya sankaram pasasi samiti sikhati. I sublimate the breath while breathing in, I sublimate the breath by breathing out. I sublimate the bodily formation. Bodily formation is breath. How do you sublimate it? By placing the mind equally on it. Placing the mind equally means samadhi. So I will not talk more. Let us have some time, a little bit. There is for question and answer. The essential I have explained. The more detail I will talk tomorrow. Any questions? Tiao ye la ye wei xi. Sublime is way she does.
Simple,
所有的三昧都有舍，如果没有舍，那就不可能有三昧。舍不是收舍，是心舍。心舍叫做你不执着你的境界，你也不拒绝你的境界，你不模糊管理你的境界，你令那它很清楚，很清晰。
所以说，是不是？如果是
这个，就跟前天师傅在谈的，就是
说最后一个第四步，对，
那第四步
叫做那个equanimity，就是说，这时候呢，就是说心。我们的心看到呼吸就是很平等的，就算是还是 object， 还是抓那 object， 还是挖起那 object， 但是那个 object 你没有很用力的去挖，都是平等的去看待。
没有错。
Master, when you say the whole body of mind, does it also mean that all the mental factors work together to experience the breath?
33 mental factors are concerned with this process of entering the jhana. And all are in balance. Especially the 5 controlling faculties. The samadhi and effort. the samadhi and the wisdom, the faith and samadhi and so on, all have to be in perfect balance. That is the state of samadhi. When this balance is there, what will be most clear, what will be very clear? Chin'an, prashrabdi, the relaxation and clarity. There is no samadhi without the relaxation and clarity. In order to bring this to expression in Theravada, there are five other mental factors concerned with the prashrabdi, with relaxation and clarity. The lightness of the mind, the smoothness of the mind and mental factors, lightness of the mind and mental factors, straightness of the mind and mental factors, the expertise of the mind and mental factors. They all come together with relaxation and clarity. The deeper the concentration, the more outspoken they become. That is the process of sublimating the mind and the object. The process of training in shamatha and vipassana on the in-breath and out-breath is nothing else but the process of sublimating the mind and its object. Nothing else. The mind cannot be fulfilled by a gross object, and gross mind is always scattered and frustrated mind. The fulfilled mind is only the subtle mind, and the subtle mind is always connected with subtle object. Christine eating Yao Jiang Sui, huh? Okay.
You mentioned observing the body of the mind also. So is it the mind observing the body of the mind?
It is so. While breathing in and breathing out, you are also aware of the mind which is observing the breath, right or not? What you actually observe is the past mind, but it's all right. I don't want to make it too complicated. The mind cannot see itself, so the Theravada, it is different in Yogacara, of course, and the mind cannot see itself. The same in Madhyamika, like the knife cannot cut itself, the finger cannot show itself, but it can see the past mind, immediately past mind. Unless you have mindfulness concentration, you cannot see very clearly the past mind. In the samadhi, state of samadhi, it is very easy because the mind does not change the object. When the mind does not change the object, it remains the same mind. That is why the mindfulness is so important. The mindfulness does not let the mind float on the object. Become unstable on the object. That's why it can clearly contemplate not only the object but also the mind which contemplates the object. When the body is discomfort.
How do you make your mind relax at the same time?
When the body is in discomfort, then the discomfort is too much, then you just change the posture. Of course, when your job is, when you meditate, not to allow any other object than the meditation objects to be clear. You should strive like that. Struggle. You decided to meditate, so you are the one who struggles. If the other sensation than the sensation of the breath or your meditation object becomes clear and you cannot prevent it, then you just change your bodily posture. You stay like that for a while and then go back to the your meditation posture. That's how to do it. Or another way is vipassana, but I won't talk now about vipassana. Before we leave, I will explain how to use also the vipassana. If you go with a mind to this unpleasant sensation, then you will find that this unpleasant sensation is nothing but hardness, softness, heat, pushing, and you will, if you go still with deeper concentration, you will find out that the sensation of hardness becomes sensation of heat, the sensation of heat becomes the sensation of pushing, the sensations always changing. When you observe like that, you will be able to detach. But it is not easy. You have to have good concentration. The nature of sensation is to change. These bodily sensations, they are always changing. The mental sensations more stable. Because the bodily sensations are always changing, the wise men see them as suffering, so they detach from the body. Those who have not practiced meditation, even sitting on the very comfortable sofa, they can't sit quietly for 1 minute, always like this. But those who have experience in meditation, they can sit on the bare ground for hours and hours. Why? What do you see?
The sensation is always changing.
Huh?
The sensation is always changing.
Always changing. Mm-hmm. So, well, how can a yogi If you go to India, some yogis, they can sit on the nails for whole day. If you go to some religious festival, Kashmir, I seen maybe, have you seen? In Haridwar or in Badrinath, you can meet such people who can sit on the bare rock, can sit whole day, not move. How can they do it? What do you say? Chittagama. Because they detach from the body. Why can they detach from the body? Because they observe the all bodily sensations as suffering, impermanence. Is it so? Okay. So enough for today. We will make some short break. And after that, we round up with last meditation. The last meditation, we should do metta meditation best. Then you can sleep like in heaven. Vivian wants to sleep like in heaven. So please practice more metta. Even if you can't sleep and you have metta, you can relax and be comfortable.